Good morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I do pray that you would speak to us through your word, that you would touch our hearts, and that we would let our hearts be filled with gratitude towards you and towards each other for all the things that you have done, for all the good things you have done, and that others have done to us, for us. Help us to be grateful. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm sure that sometimes pastors are tempted to write a sermon that's, you know, specifically for a special person, you know, such and such. They need to hear this. Honestly, I've never been tempted to do that. But then I'm not a pastor. However, today there was someone specific in my mind who I thought really needs to hear this. He is standing in front of you. So this is a talk to myself. Sometimes it's hard to feel thankful, especially in these times of COVID. There's the worry that I or my loved ones get infected. There's the concern for those that did get it, and the grief for those that passed away. And then all the restrictions we have to deal with, wearing masks, washing hands all the time, and then, you know, the cashiers behind the glass. What are they hiding from? It's easy to get grumpy when all these new things are imposed on us. I think the truth is that gratitude is more of a state of mind inside us, an attitude that does not depend on circumstances. You know, we have all seen images of people, and we have experienced it ourselves, I assume, that are very poor, and yet they're given a small gift by a passerby, and their face lights up. Why can't we be so grateful? Or think of children. Sometimes it's a small thing, you know, you do something for them and they are so happy. There's a saying in my dialect, it's, you know, small things that make children happy. Maybe that's why Jesus says, you know, that we are to receive the kingdom of God like children, because they are grateful. But ungratefulness is very common. Luke tells a story about the 10 lepers in which 9 out of 10 are not grateful. That seems to be on par with what we see around us. Being grateful may take a conscious effort, and by default, we slip back into the ungrateful, grumpy me. I do. Let's read the passage. As Jesus continued toward Jerusalem, he reached the border between Galilee and Samaria. And as he entered a village there, 10 lepers stood at a distance, crying out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." He looked at them and said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed of their leprosy. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, he came back to Jesus shouting, "Praise God!" He fell to the ground at Jesus' feet, thanking him for what he had done. And this man was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Didn't I heal 10 men? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And Jesus said to the man, "Stand up and go. Your faith has healed you." Now, Luke places this passage right after Jesus tells a parable, it's more like a metaphor, about us being like servants. We are not supposed to expect gratitude from God, from the master. The servants don't expect, being thanked for the service. It's what you expect. It's their job. They are indebted to their master, so they do what he does, what he tells them to, and they don't expect gratitude from the master. Now this is the other side of the story, our gratitude to the master. Let's look briefly at each of these short paragraphs. First, the lepers approach Jesus. They follow the quarantine and social distancing requirements of the time. They didn't call it that way. They stay at a distance and call out to Jesus, "Help us." And that's what they're supposed to do. Since COVID has struck, some of us has learned a little bit what it means to be isolated. I never had to go into isolation. I thank God for that. I think it must be hard, being locked in a hotel room and not allowed to leave. But this is different. And, we've also heard of people dying of COVID and their relatives couldn't even be there, especially, way back in the beginning when it first started. How horrible. But still, there is a big difference, especially, for being isolated. There's a big difference between these lepers at that time and our situation today. At the time that this story takes place, they seem to be managing. They can walk. They're free. They're not locked in a room. And they can call for help. But there is hopelessness. They're never going to get well. That was their expectation. It's going to be a lifetime issue. You can never be with your spouse. Well, I read that sometimes, spouses were allowed to quarantine with them. Would you do that for your spouse? But then you're isolated from the rest of your family. And, back at the time, you never could call them on WhatsApp or Skype, they were really isolated. They had to distance. They couldn't go to the temple. They couldn't participate in worship. And online services were not an option. Now, we look at these group of people, and there's 10 of them, and if you've seen videos or movies or The Chosen, they're always dressed in rags, and that's probably what they were. They were poor, they had no income, and they lived off what people gave them. And they are, one gray mass of people, one group. But before they were struck with this horrible disease, I'm sure there were differences between them. Some may have been wealthy. Some may have been poor. Some were older, some were younger. Some were maybe craftsmen. Others were maybe educated. Or some were just unskilled workers. Some were devoutly religious. And others never cared much about God. And some were Samaritans, and some were Jews. when they were healthy, they may have been in completely different groups of society. But now leprosy has all brought them together. And they somehow became equal. Together they come, together they call out. They call Jesus Master. They don't use the word rabbi, what the disciples usually use, but they use Master. And they call for help, for mercy. I've done a study on mercy, and you know, sometimes in cases like this, it means more empathy. You know, have compassion with us. Do something if you can. In the second paragraph, we have Jesus answering them. Jesus speaks. In other cases, when we see Jesus encountering lepers, he actually goes up and touches them. He is not afraid of getting infected, of getting unclean. But here he simply talks to them, apparently from a distance. Luke isn't very specific, you know, about all the details. Well, you know, how far were they apart? Did they maintain 6 feet? But Jesus just talks to them gives them a strange command. Go and show yourselves to the priest. Well, that's what you do after you found out that you are healed, that, you know, this disease has gotten better. But it hasn't. So would you go? Kind of strange command. They all go. They all have some kind of faith that, you know, this is worth a try. Maybe for some it was just like, you know, the thought of what have we got to lose? I mean, worst thing that can happen is we're going to stay the same. So why not try? Kind of reminds me of Naaman back in the Old Testament when he came from Syria to Israel to talk to Elijah to get healed, and Elijah tells him, go take a dip in the Jordan. And he thinks, what, the Jordan? It's so much dirtier here than it is at home. I don't want to do that. And finally, his servant convinces him, what have you got to lose? Why don't you do what the man of God says? And he does, and he gets cleaned. And so maybe same here. They go on their way, and they try. Now, here's a side lesson that has not so much to do with thankfulness, but it's worth a worthwhile life lesson that we all can take home. If you hear Jesus telling you something, even if it does not make sense, go and do it. All of a sudden, when they were on the way, they were healed. All of a sudden, all the options opened up again. You can go back to your spouse. You can go back to your family. Back to your job that God has given you. You can go back to worship in the temple, like properly. The gray of the lepers, of the leper colony, is washed away. And it has changed the men into a rainbow of colors. They're all different again. I can imagine, even though they were still wearing the rags of the leper colony, they walk now upright. And some may have felt the need to distance themselves from others for other reasons. You know, he's still a Samaritan. He's healed now and I'm healed, but he's a Samaritan. And maybe they, you know, I don't know how long it took for that to settle in. Again, Luke is not specific about that. But it's worthwhile sometimes to think of what did people go through when this happened? Next paragraph. 9 did not return. All of them became physically well, but only one returned. Before we judge these 9 people, let me be their advocate for a while. After all, you know, why should they return? Didn't Jesus himself tell them to go to the priest? So they should go to the priest, right? And aren't there, you know, doesn't God require cleansing sacrifices to be brought? And if Jesus is from God, will he not be happy if we go and worship God and, you know, bring the sacrifices, go to the priest and worship in the temple where we have not been, what we have not been able for, to do for so long? Wouldn't God be honored if we now do the things that he has enabled us to? And, you know, this is kind of close to home. As a missionary, sometimes, you know, God enables you to do the things, and I'm so happy, and I go ahead and do it. And I'm not thankful. And sometimes I'm thinking, well, I am thankful in what I'm doing, because this is praising God, you know, that he has enabled me to do this. Well, give thanks to him already. You know, I used to think that there's nothing about being grateful in the Ten Commandments. And there isn't. Is there? Is there? It doesn't say, thou shalt be grateful. And I used to think, you know, being grateful is like for, like in a class, for extra credit. You can still pass if you're not. I mean, it's nice. It's nice when people are nice. But, you know, it's something extra. I know this sounds funny, but deep down I thought, you know, we're okay. If we live our lives honestly and lovingly, and yes, adding some gratitude on top of it is nice. But if we miss a thank you, we're not really sinning. It came to me a little bit as a shock. And this only happened a couple of years ago when a book pointed out to me that ungratefulness is listed right in a list of some severe sins. I'll read it to you. Paul warns Timothy that in the end times there will be people who are, quote, lovers of themselves, meaning egoists, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to parents. And here it is, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of God, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with these people. He mentioned ungrateful right in there. If I'm ungrateful, what company have I slipped into? But there is another way. There is another leper, the one who came back. And that's the last paragraph. They were all excited to have their life back. But one of them turned right around to give thanks to the one who healed him. He realized, oh, I'm healed. And apparently, you know, he let the priest wait. He needed to go back to this man who has done this to him. Luke points out that this man was a Samaritan. I think that it's not intended to mean that Samaritans are better than Jews. The point is that if a Samaritan can do the right thing, how much more should the Jews be able to do it? Translated into our times, if the world can be grateful, how much more should the people of the church? Back to the leper. He is ecstatic. The priest and getting the official certificate of cleanliness can wait. It does not matter if I get it a few hours later. I need to see this man and thank him. I found it interesting, one of the commentators pointed that out. The verbs used when the leper come back. He saw that he was healed. He returned, glorifying God. In Luke, in chapter 2, we've heard the same three verbs together. When the shepherds returned from seeing the baby in the manger, glorifying and praising God for all they have seen and heard. I'm sure it's no accident. And it ties it back. You know, the shepherds have seen the Messiah, and here, the leper, he has seen and recognized him. Our Samaritan did not only get well from the dreadful disease, he has seen the glory of God, just like the shepherds did that night. For him, a relationship with the one who healed him was the highest priority. Everything else can wait. Jesus welcomes him and assures him salvation. Unfortunately, I picked the NLT here. I usually like the NLT. But it's a little fuzzy. It blurs kind of the response of Jesus. We read here, didn't I heal 10 men? Didn't I heal 10 men? And then, the other nine, has no one returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And Jesus said to the man, stand up and go. Your faith has healed you. Wait a minute. Heal. Did Jesus heal them or did faith heal them? And so weren't they all healed? Like I said, NLT is a little fuzzy here. The Greek is actually more clear about that. It says the first instance where he talks about having healed 10 of them, it says, were not all 10 cleansed? Meaning the physical healing, the cleaning, the taking away of the dreadful disease that makes you unclean for the rest of your life. It's a physical healing. In the second instance, the verb used is sozo, the Greek word for salvation, which means rescued. And it often refers to the spiritual salvation, to inheriting eternal life. And so we see that Jesus pointed out, it's your faith that has healed you. And faith is probably best understood as the trusting relationship with Jesus. Jesus was more important to him than anything else at the time. I'm sure he had people to go back to and tell them, hey, I'm healed. But no, his highest priority was Jesus. And like I pointed out in my last sermon, it's the relationship with the Master that saved him. One of my favorite German Christian songwriters, Manfred Siebald, wrote a song about this passage. Don't worry, I'm not going to sing it to you. I'm not going to play it for you because you probably would not understand, except for Crystal and Joshua. But it goes something like this. 10 times a life sentence of hopelessness. 10 times leprosy eating sores into body and soul. Then one day someone told them, Jesus is near. The one from Nazareth might make you well. And then, you know, in the song there's a refrain, and it goes something like this: 10, he has healed 10 of them, and they all found it wonderful. 10, he has healed 10 of them, but only one was thankful. And then there's a couple of more verses which I skip, and then he switches the focus to himself, to ourselves, and he says, you know, I've asked him so many times, how often have I brought him my leprosy, the leprosy of my life, and he has answered and responded, and then the refrain changes, and he says, 10, oh no, 100 times did he send his help to me, and how rarely have I returned my gratitude to him. 10, no, 1,000 times did he send his help to me, and how rarely have I returned my thanks to him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you are the God who heals, the God who helps, who heals our hearts. And Lord, I do pray that every one of us will be touched and will open our hearts to be thankful and to give you praise, even when things are difficult. But you have done so much to us. And let this joy, let this gratitude overflow our lives and spill out into the world and to you. In Jesus' name, amen.